I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your Thursday. We'll get you a preview of Thursday Night Football a little bit later on with Eric Eager, who stops by at 6 o'clock. Let's welcome in our audience in Richmond. First time today. They'll be with us for the next 3 hours. Should let them know you've got a chance to win Caps tickets right here on The Fan at 4 o'clock this evening. We've got tickets to get you into opening night against the Bruins. We got the good seats, so make sure you're listening and able to call in 1 hour. Speaking of tickets, right now, caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. I hope you don't have plans tonight. You are winning a pair of tickets to go see I Am Athlete, a live podcast taping this evening at City Winery down here by Nats Park. The event is sold out. This is the only way in. For details and more event information, go to thefandc.com/contests. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Eric Flack, who's an award-winning journalist for Channel 9, WUSA-TV in town, is stopping by to discuss what's going on with Dan Snyder. It's been a curious last week for the owner of the team. Eric, thanks for the time. How are you?
Good, Grant. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. We appreciate you joining us. So I guess let's just start before we ask bigger picture questions here. Get people up to speed on last night. There was a leak. It seemed like everyone who covers the team came out with these documents that said that Snyder's lawyers for the team, whoever it was, basically doesn't like how the investigation is going from Congress. What can you tell us?
Well, you know, it was a leak and a release of a letter sent by Snyder's legal team, which is expanding in size and taking on new members, to the House Oversight Committee, to go almost on the offensive on the record to say your investigation is improper, it is unfair, it is a witch hunt, it is targeting Daniel Snyder when you say you are actually targeting the culture in the workplace of the team and of corporations, which is kind of the veil that the House Oversight Committee has used to justify its investigation. And then it lays out point by point in a 34-page letter, including multiple exhibits, almost like a legal document, how they are or plan to debunk the arguments made against Snyder and the toxic workplace culture, the allegations of sexual misconduct, sexual harassment, and basically just lay out point by point their arguments for it being unfair, their arguments for the witnesses that the House Oversight Committee has relied on being biased and unreliable. And it's almost as if they were taking an offensive against this investigation. The curious part, as you mentioned, is the timing, because why now? Why come out with this right now? And it says right at the top of the letter, we understand your investigation is coming to a conclusion. So it is almost, if you're reading tea leaves, as if the legal team is preemptively trying to protect against whatever is about to come from that report and from the House Oversight Committee.
So, Eric, to your point, I mean, it'd be very easy. Any reasonable human being could refute the the points that this letter tries to make in very sternly worded language about all the various people that were in Dan's employ, including Bruce Allen, for more than a decade. And we all know they were inseparable, playing office golf every day and you know, running the frat house together. And then the idea that we're now supposed to distance ourselves and he's not credible. And this and the other thing is laughable on its face. But that's kind of for another time. I want to get back to what you just said about they're trying to preempt something. I 100% fully believe that photo with Jerry Jones pregame was about something. Then you have this just a few days later. Too much to be coincidental for me. His first appearances, really, where the cameras, either by contract or otherwise, haven't focused on him at games. Now, you know, Frosted Tips Dan is out in public with his arm around Jerry Jones. Here's what this feels like to me. Come at me, other owners. I dare you. That guy's in my corner. I know where the bodies are buried. Something bad is coming that's going to make Dan look foolish or whatever, and he's challenging anybody else with everything swirling, saying basically, if you come at me, I'll fight back really, really hard. That's how I view it. What are your thoughts?
Danny, I could not agree more. I think we were all kind of a little bit surprised and curious about that photo. Really, as far as I can recall, one of the only public appearances in front of a camera he's made all season. He came out to announce the team's name change. He called in to the lottery commission, the Maryland Lottery Commission, to put in his 2 cents worth for FedEx getting a lottery license. And then he randomly pops up with Jerry Jones at midfield for this photo. And I think when the photo came out, I mean, we all saw it on social media. I saw your tweets as well. We were all kind of like, what is going on? But when you add the photo to the reports about him losing support among the owners, when you add that to this letter, all in a row, all in conjunction, it seems very believable and very reasonable for somebody like yourself or me to deduce that they are going on a planned offensive, almost as if they know this is Custard's last stand. Like, I believe, judging from what we've seen, that internally they realize the fire is getting turned up. Somebody who Dan Snyder is listening to has told him, yo, man, this is getting really bad. You better do something other than take the bunker mentality. And I think it's reasonable to believe that this is not the end of this offensive. The fact that they, and this is just kind of how the sausage is made, they made a member of that legal team available for interviews for all local media, the Brownlee guy, not the guy who wrote the letter, but another guy on the team. For them to start offering up interviews, hey, we got somebody to talk to if you want to hear more, it's something PR firms do.
Yes.
Hey, we want to sell you our product. Talk to this person. The fact that they're offering up media interviews, I think, only speaks to what you're suggesting.
Eric Flack, chief investigative reporter, covers normally news, but right now, a lot of the Commanders and Dan Snyder, because they are very much in the news for WSA TV9 in town. How much of this is a shift in approach? Remember, there is someone new that has been brought in to kind of advise the Snyder part of their PR, right? I can't remember the woman's name, but she's brand new. They blew out the last person or she left. There's someone else in here now. And they're clearly on the attack, on the aggressive. It feels to me like maybe a shift in philosophy just with the people calling the shots for Dan.
Huge shift in philosophy. And again, this is a how the sausage is made question, but it's relevant. You know, the Commanders have a very robust PR team that handle everything from, you know, Anheuser-Busch pulling their beer deal to, you know, the radio changing place to the stadium stuff. This is outside. And up until now, all those statements that have come out about the congressional oversight have come from the PR machine within the team. This is a change, and it does signal something's different, and it does signal that for whatever reason, Dan Snyder and those closest to him, likely his wife, have decided they need a change in approach on how they deal with this. And you know, time will tell whether they have more success the question is, will Dan Snyder ever sit down for a big, you know, one-on-one interview, actually answer questions? You know, I'm not even saying with me, with anybody, with a member of the Post, I don't know. But, you know, they have clearly decided that whatever they were doing was not working, and it was trending in the wrong direction. And something had to change. And I think what we are seeing from the photo to the letter is what's changing. They're starting to go on the offensive. And I'm just interested to see what's next, because I don't think this is the end.
What is next? I think that's the billion-dollar question, right? Is what are they so afraid of? Because you don't do this unless you're moved to do so, Eric.
Here's the way all this works, Danny. The House Oversight Committee they can't file any charges, okay? Let's just assume that they believe that there was some criminal wrongdoing. I'm not even going to say what that was. But let's say that behind closed doors, they believe that there was something to go forward with. They don't have the right to charge Dan Snyder or anybody else with anything. The most they can do is write a report, and if they feel compelled, write a letter to the Department of Justice, who then would pick up any criminal investigation. So, I mean, again, House Oversight Committee investigates a lot of stuff. They investigated the steroid stuff back in the day. They have the right to write a report, and if they feel so compelled, refer a letter to the Department of Justice, at which point it is solely in the Department of Justice's hands to decide whether or not any criminal investigation is warranted. Are we going to get that far? I don't know. But the timing, the tone of the letter indicates that the team, and more importantly, Dan Snyder's legal team, know that something is coming, because otherwise, why put it back out there? Why have your show and everybody else talking about this all over again? They created this storyline today. So I can guarantee you they had a reason. And I think we're all just waiting to figure out what that reason is.
It's a great point. And it felt like a muddying of the waters, right? If they're saying this investigation's not even fair before the investigation is finalized or we find out what was learned. It's my belief, Eric, that nothing's going to happen with Dan Snyder, no matter what any of these investigations find, because I don't think that 3/4 of the owners are going to vote him out. If that's the case, why am I wrong to say that this is all a waste? A waste of time is not true. That's not even fair to the victims. But I mean, the end game is either that he's going to be the owner or he isn't. Am I wrong to say he's going to be the owner and the rest of this is just kind of semantics?
I don't know, Grant. I mean, I think I've been on your show before and said that he's going to be the owner and nothing is going to happen. It gets to the point where, like, the dude in your group who just keeps on causing problems gets blackballed from the group. And, you know, I know it would take a lot. And listen, I have no insight into what the 32 NFL owners are going to do about Dan Snyder or the other 31. But if you're in a business, you know, it gets to the point where this is just not a headache we need anymore. So whether there is going to be behind-the-scenes pressure for him to sell rather than an official vote, could it be that he has started to get some of those calls? Hey, Dan, you know, why don't you just take your money and go off into the French Riviera and enjoy a great life? Like, you know, sell the team. You're going to make $1 zillion. You know, now's the time. Is he starting to get some of those calls? I don't know. But you know, eventually this will end. You're right, Grant, that this investigation will end. And I'm hard-pressed to believe that the Department of Justice is going to pick up any criminal investigation, even if they're referred. I think the question of whether or not he will continue to be an NFL owner is an interesting one, only because I think people are getting tired. And I think that the rich people who own the other NFL teams are also getting tired of this and want it to stop one way or the other.
Eric, thank you as always, buddy. Appreciate the info.
Later, Danny. Later,
see you,
Grant.
Bud.
Thanks.
Be well. Thank you, sir. There's Eric Flack. Check him out on Channel 9 in town. Joining us here on G&D, our go-to guy when anything happens with Snyder.
So for so many years, GP, and this really would come up during name change stuff, right? somebody would write something or something would happen or a group would file some petition with a trademark office or something, the name thing would come up. We would talk about it. A couple people wrote columns and that was it. And that's all Dan had to do. Just sit it out. Don't do anything. Because the instant you engage, they're on the same level as you. Everybody that's mad at you now has the same platform you do. The whole world turned for him when he did that dumb thing in the USA Today where he was like, put it in all caps, I'm never changing it. Well, all of a sudden, you gave everybody fodder. If you just never open your gate, no soldiers come inside from outside. He just had to sit there and do nothing, just collect his billions of dollars. Once he did that, it opened everyone else up. Where I'm going with this is, if he just sits still and does nothing and just earns his millions, what's changing, right? To the point that you just made to Eric and what you guys were just talking about. If he takes no action, he'll own the team. He owns 100% of it. His net worth goes up. He gets to go to games. He's got a giant house in Alexandria. He's got his yacht. Just he lives this dream that he gets to do. They're taking action for some reason, right? Like they're moved to it. And that's what I'm compelled.
Well, I think that the cat is out of the bag now. Like, they're taking action to get ahead of whatever's coming based on all these investigations. So I think kind of sitting back idly, you've seen this now for the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You just take all the bullets, basically, because they're going to keep firing now. We are in a mode where there's a bunch of people on a ship, you're sitting on an island, and they are just shooting cannonball after cannonball, and they're not going away. What you're saying makes sense, like with the name change, mm-hmm. when the ship hasn't anchored 100 yards from me and no one is lighting the fuse to just keep shooting the cannonballs, then yeah, don't come out, don't antagonize, don't mention the name, keep it out of the news, whatever it is. But I think it's too late. The reason he's coming out now on the offensive is if you just sit there and the cannonballs keep coming, you're cooked, I believe. I think you're done. You have to go on the aggressive to sow doubt. I saw some people yesterday going, it's true, this is a witch hunt. Or, you know, they're just interviewing Bruce Allen who has an axe to grind. I mean, they're trying to just win over some people and gain some empathy, essentially. Good luck with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to have a hard time.
Uphill.
But there's going to be, there's a sucker born every minute. There's going to be some people who are pro-Dan who say, you know, that basically he's being canceled or people just want him out because they don't like him or whatever it is. So I think that's why he's going on the offensive. This is a strategy by whoever his new strategist is.
Well, let me rephrase that because I agree with your conclusion. They're moved to do this because if you don't fear if you don't fear what's coming, you don't do anything. Right? If you have no concern over people shooting those cannonballs, to use your analogy, at you because they can't reach your ship, then you don't care. You're moving because you think it's significant. I guess that's what I keep coming back to. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what leak is on its way. I don't know what testimony is on its way. I don't know what took so long. I don't know if it's Mary Jo White. I don't know if it's one of the state's attorneys. Because, again, we have lots of investigations to choose from, which is always a nice thing to be able to pick from. A nice little buffet. But you make this preemptive, everything that guy's going to say is BS, move because you're afraid of what the guy's going to say in some way. Right? I mean, I guess that's the point I'm trying to make here, is that this is very unusual if they don't have any concern for what's coming down the pike.
Well, they definitely have concern.
They have concern.
There's no doubt. That's the cannonball is coming.
Cannonball.
They you see it. I mean, it's off in the distance, and it's getting closer and closer and closer, and it's going to land on you. Now, the question is, what is coming? I think most people assume it's just in the next week or two that we're going to find out what the House Oversight Committee found.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a bombshell from Bruce Allen. Maybe there isn't. What's going on with the Mary Jo White investigation? I mean, people forget that there's actually six investigations that Dan is being looked into right now in various ways.
There's so many.
Six.
Six.
But what is going on with the Mary Jo White thing, and why is that taking forever? We had, who did we have on a couple weeks ago who's like plugged in on this kind of stuff? And we were asking about the timing of it.
Lisa Banks?
Lisa Banks.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. The attorney for all of the former employees. And I said, are you surprised that we haven't heard anything on this? And she said, absolutely. They assumed, before the season started, something would happen with the Mary Jo White investigation. Which isn't to say she wants her to rush.
Right.
But how long does this take? And if you wait till the season, strategically, I think the league's in a much better place. Because a lot of us have
this is their time of strength, yeah.
And we're just like, okay, there's a Thursday night game, then a Monday night game, and The Commanders play on Sunday, so whatever you're going to do with Dan Snyder, just make sure it's on Wednesday and Thursday, because I want to watch them on Sunday.
Everything I'm reading today is about whether or not to start Nyheim Hines tonight because Jonathan Taylor's out, or do I have one of my other running backs go this weekend? You're right. It's what's on the radar. They're so much stronger now. So it doesn't surprise me, though, by the way, that that investigation got slow played because of what you just said, right? It's still yet another to make it toothless.
Nobody's really I think most people think it's the House Oversight Committee investigation coming back, and it probably is. I have no idea. This is completely speculative.
So for them, with election not too far away and football on everybody's mind all the time, what, you know, this is how you get the most eyeballs, maybe. Just thinking out loud that way.
A lot of them have already done their elections. I mean, the
primaries and stuff.
Maloney lost.
Yeah, in her primary.
She's cooked. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. But it's not like it's just that one thing. It could be one of anything, any of six investigations.
Six different investigations.
And who knows? There could be something we don't even know yet that could be coming. But it certainly feels like they are preparing for battle in some way. All right, next, it is time to figure out if love is truly Ryan. We want Ryan to get on Netflix. Love is Blind. Go to the pods. Find love. Get married. Come back a married man with his wife and have her on the show, and we'll interview her. But first, we need to sign up for Love is Blind. So we'll do that on the air next. We'll go through all of the questions that they make their respondents, their participants fill out answers for. And Ryan will do that on the show right here on Grant and Danny. A Darris Dameron Ryan Clary production. This is Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. I haven't dinged the bell all show. What on earth is going on here?
Can I say this? I'm trying to find the right word.
Yeah.
You've been trying to think of a different word besides fondling. That doesn't feel like a very appropriate word. You've been hovering over it. You've been playing with it. You've
been
touching it.
Tinkering.
You've been that's a good word. You've been Tinker Tailor Soldier spying it all show. And I keep thinking, like, I'm going to say something profound. You're going to be like, good point, Danny. Ding. It hasn't happened, though. I don't think I've said anything profound, and you just haven't dinged it. But you're the bellboy now. You want to just ring the bell, and you haven't for 3 hours and 28 minutes. I mean, you just did it now.
Very difficult.
But, like, is it hard not to do it?
Very hard.
Would you say you're addicted?
Yes.
Yep.
I have an addictive personality. I think I'm addicted to the bell. Mm-hmm. No doubt about that.
Yep.
Can I get some soft love ballads or something, please? Something that'll make me feel good as I interview Ryan Clary about Love is Blind. So for those of you that don't know what's going on, Love is Blind is a show on Netflix. The way this show works is very simple. They send folks in their mid to upper 20s into what they call pods. They date through a wall. They never see each other. The idea behind Love is Blind is that we want a very intimate, legitimate, authentic connection, not something based on something as insignificant as looks.
Mm-mm.
You don't get to meet the person you've been dating through the pods for several days. It's speed dating. There's 20-plus girls, 20-plus guys. You're kind of going room to room to room to room. Eventually, you have to propose. If you propose and she says yes, that proposal is to continue dating outside of the pods. They then send you immediately on your honeymoon, first time you've ever met them.
On a honeymoon.
You're staying overnight in this wonderful villa, so Ryan will be at a 5-star beautiful place on some beach with some girl that he just met, but he's engaged to, so it's very, very cool. So next thing you know, Ryan and this girl then come back from their 1 week in paradise, and now they've got to live life. Now they've got to actually find a way to coexist in the real world. They're going to move in to an apartment together, all right? And then after that, they have to decide if they're going to actually have the wedding and stay married or not. They have to say yes to love being blind. And they'll say, is love really blind? And then Ryan says yes. And then she says yes. And then our little boy's married.
Or he says yes, she says no.
That's
she says yes, he says no.
But you have to sign up for the show before you can be on it.
Right.
We know that if they see Ryan, if they get Ryan's tape and his paperwork, that he's in. He's going to be on Netflix, the next big star.
That's how we feel.
So without further ado, let's fill out some of this paperwork. Now, Ryan, you're a couple steps ahead of us. You filled a lot of this out already.
Yep. I've already filled out through question 29.
Yep. So. It's all biographical information. Are you divorced? Do you have any children? Normal stuff like
exactly.
that. So question 30 is now where we kind of get to the nitty-gritty.
Well, I want to know about question number 29. If you do not already have children, do you want children in the future? If you do have children, do you want to have more children in the future?
I don't have kids. That's first off. Second, I would like to have no more than two kids.
No more than two.
No more than two.
Wow.
But you have, maybe no more than one.
Yeah, you got to have. If you're going to have one, you got to have two.
I know. So
good Richard Marks selection, Darius. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Darius. All right, here we go. What are your hobbies? List three things you enjoy doing in your free time.
Well, first off, what I love doing in my free time is my first biggest hobby is that I just love watching sports. And that's basic, that's boring, but it's just what I love to do.
I'm going to write that down, watching sports. Number two.
Second, going to play and shoot hoops on a blacktop. Specifically
outside.
When's the
last time you shot hoops on a blacktop?
Guy, every weekend. Every weekend, catch me at Hayfield Secondary School.
Did you know that?
I had no idea.
By the way, I'm outside of Hayfield more weekends than not.
Well, I am too. I guess we're just both alike now.
I don't know if I believe you.
Well, Grant's always shooting hoops at the blacktop.
I've had all the time. Number three,
this is a tough one. You know, I'm just going to say a worker. I like to work and I like to keep busy. So just out of the house doing something.
Ladies will love hearing that. He wants to be out of the house at work.
Can I just offer that we put something else?
Yeah. I like movies. I like to go to the movies
and go to
movie theaters.
There we go.
Great, I'm a movie
cultured
guy.
What was the length of your last relationship?
7 months. Or 6 months, really.
It's got to be one or the other.
Let's go seven.
Seven months.
Sounds better. 7-11.
Let's not lie, though, on the paperwork.
No.
Okay. 7 months. And when was that?
High school. A little while ago.
Okay. All right. Please take a moment to briefly describe your dating history.
Do we just have it?
What is the longest relationship you have been in, and how long have you been single?
So I dated that girl for 7 months.
And what else?
Then what?
I dated that girl for 7 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got that part.
Yeah.
Covered. Yeah, that's
okay.
The part.
Okay,
yeah.
That's the part.
Okay.
What was her name?
Well, I don't want to give it over there.
Okay, yeah. That's a good point. I'm just
What's her
say,
address?
Dated girl in high school for 7 months. How was it? How was the relationship overall?
It was good up until the end of it. I'm not going to say who did what to ruin it, but it went well.
How well?
Real well.
Okay.
To the point
was, it
where
your,
we just,
was it your fault that it's over?
No. It's just it went so well that we just still haven't talked.
Was it your fault that the relationship ended or hers?
Let's say hers. I'll blame it on her, in my opinion.
She might have a different opinion. How was your... let's see. How long was your longest relationship? We got that. Yep. How long was your shortest?
But we described the dating history. That's the whole history, right?
What was your shortest relationship?
I mean, shortest... I guess you could say like a couple days when you're like talking to a girl where you think it's going to go somewhere. And
I
it
was
just
thinking
hasn't.
A couple minutes.
A couple minutes. That
We've
could be
there.
A right answer as well.
Don't put a couple minutes. That's not going to help.
We'll say a couple of... you said days?
Say a week. Say just shy of
a week.
Just shy of a week.
Shy of a week.
A week.
What is your current dating life like?
So a lot of people would describe different things for this. So I'm just going to say my dating life is not amazing right now. I haven't really been on a date since pre-pandemic. So that's one thing. But there's people who describe different dates to where, like, you know, I've gone out with Tinder girlfriends. Or not girlfriends. But I've gone out
with Tinder girlfriends.
Tinder girlfriends.
I've gone out with Tinder girls before, and we've met and have had good times before. So...
Question number 35. Why do you think you're single?
Oh, well, I can tell you that right now.
Go ahead.
I just think I'm way too confident in my own ways, and I'm not able to reach out and grow and to accept different things.
Let's not put that on the paperwork.
Here, I'll translate.
You're saying comfortable and set in your own lifestyle.
Yes.
And you're not willing to basically ingratiate another person into your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, at 22, how comfortable can you be? I mean, you've only been doing this for a couple of years. That's something like a 37-year-old struggles with.
That's true. It's a good point. I like my own ways. And I've liked my own ways for a while.
What are your own ways? What's that look like?
I mean, I like to lie to my mom and get Chipotle for dinner. I like to go to the movies. I like to eat a large popcorn with a medium soda.
Yeah.
She would never like that. I would. Get a little candy on the side, a little Mike and Ike action.
Minus the lying to his mom. He really does remind me of myself.
So I think what you do is you put being single is a choice, one that I've made. I'm very comfortable with myself and my own skin.
That's very good.
Love it.
Bam.
I like that too. And I'm ready to branch out.
I'm ready to grow.
I think you just have to say as many times as you can on the paperwork that you're ready for marriage.
Yeah.
and you're ready to settle down.
I'm ready.
That phrase should be
after
used.
My long journey of that 7-month relationship that time.
Why do you think you're single? Oh, you just asked. Why are you a catch? That's the next one.
Well, why am I a catch? First off, I have a glowing personality.
It's true.
Second off, I got beautiful crystal blue eyes. Everyone loves my blue eyes.
Yesterday he was trying to tell us how nice his eyes were, and I'm like, I don't know if they're blue, are they? And so then he's like, look. And I'm like, well, your pupils are huge. He's like, let's turn on the lights. And he stares at the light for a while. He's like, let me just adjust my eyes really quick.
They're beautiful blue eyes.
They are incredible.
The nice eyes. I can say
suck in like tractor beams.
Yep. And then, see? And then also my hair is great. My hair is amazing. I have really good hair, and I'm proud of it.
I'd say the hair, more than anything else, has come a long way in the last year and a half or so.
It has.
We went from like the bowl cut thing we were doing to now Floyd 99 barbershop, little comb over situation.
They love it.
With a part.
Mm-hmm.
Who's they? Who loves it?
Just the ladies love it.
Who's told you that?
I mean, just some Tinder girls.
Yeah. Yeah. Tinder girls.
Online. Yeah.
Okay. Has anyone really complimented you on your hair?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Don't put that no part.
So why are you a catch in summation?
It's just, you know, I'm the guy. Like, you know how we describe, like, I'm just the guy. I'm a hubby. That's what they call. I'm a husband. You know, I'm someone that your father would love me. And your mother would love me too.
That's true.
That is nice. That's true.
They would love me.
I'm a husband in waiting is a great answer.
You know what? That's what I would put. I'd be like, I'm not the most popular guy always with young chicks in this hookup culture, mm-hmm. but your parents will love me and I am a husband. That's what I would say.
Yep, exactly.
Because these women, they're trying to settle down. That's why they're coming on Love is Blind.
That's what I'm trying to do too.
Question 37. Where are you currently meeting potential mates?
Tinder.
There's
Bumble.
That easy question there.
Hinge.
Bumble. All right.
I guess maybe out in the bars, but it's been a couple years.
What are your thoughts on the dating scene in your city?
You know what? DC's got a lot of spots, but I just think I have to explore more and gather more information, as I haven't really done that. I've kind of just placed little spots in my way to where I don't really get to explore that. But so I do think it's a good little dating scene. I just haven't been able to really put myself out there completely.
All right, so I would compliment the dating scene, and I would say the issue is not the dating scene, which I find to be impressive and fun. Mm-hmm. The issue has been myself, but yeah. I'm ready to get over those hurdles.
Yep.
Maybe that's what I'll write down.
I like that. What are the top three qualities you look for in a mate?
Well, first off, got to have a good personality. Good personality, and she needs to love sports. Needs to love sports because that's what I do for a living, and that's what I plan to do for a living, so I hope she can be along with me in that ride.
She's got to be a listener to the Locked On Clary podcast.
Locked On Clary podcast. Got to be a listener. Third, I need good teeth. I have good teeth, and that's kind of one of my things that I like about me. And so when maybe we have kids someday, our kids will have good teeth. We won't have to pay for braces.
You need some silly teeth.
Good teeth.
What are your deal breakers?
Yeah.
Sounds like bad teeth. What
bad
else?
Bad teeth is a deal breaker.
You could go with a couple physical things if you want, but you need to also incorporate non-physical
things. I would, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That way they don't think you're just in this thing for the looks. Remember, it is Love is Blind. You could fall in love, you can engage, mm-hmm. and then someone could have like three teeth.
All right, so another deal breaker for me is smelling like cigarettes. It's just I don't like the smell of cigarettes. It always is giving me a headache.
You don't?
No, I don't. I mean, that's
so like you don't want your spouse or your partner to come up and kiss you smelling like cigarettes?
Oh, it's so hot, though.
That's so weird.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess that's everyone hates that.
Yeah.
So okay. So bad teeth, smelling like cigarettes, and then third, I want you to dress nice when we go out. You know,
he likes a
professional,
style. Little class,
a little
elegance.
Style. I got style. I feel like.
You open to dating someone who is divorced and/or has children.
So, someone being divorced, yes. Children? Okay. No. I'm not ready for to be a dad just yet. I'm 22. That's too much responsibility, so no on the children. But yes on the divorce.
So what I find interesting about that, Ryan, is if you fall in love in the pods, let's say, things are really developing, mm-hmm. and then the bombshell right there at the end, she says, I just want you to know I've got two kids. They're 5 and 3.
I mean, if I'm in love already, then who knows? But who knows?
He just said it's his deal breaker or that he can't do it, and now...
Love is a crazy thing. Who knows?
It is crazy, yes.
But you have not seen this woman. It's just the love of a few meetings through the wall.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I fall in love with her personality and I feel like she's the woman for me, then I guess I'm just going to have to deal with it. I guess I'll be a dad.
Can you imagine Ryan coming
just like
home,
that, he's a dad now.
Helping out, like 6 months from now, helping out with homework? Anything else, Danny? Any of these that you like?
There are a couple.
Let's do one more each.
Yeah. This one. What does your perfect match look like physically? And what physical traits are you not attracted to?
I like that one.
Yeah.
I like that one.
So,
a lot.
Okay. Let me be careful with this. I like a little. I don't want this girl to be taller than me. I want to be the taller one.
How tall are you?
About 5'10, 5'11. Yeah. I don't really know. So. As long as you're not taller than like 5'8", to where I'm like not towering over you, but I'm also, you know, just a good height. And yeah, you know, a good looking woman with
good teeth,
nice physical features, you know, just everything about it. The full package. Yeah. Do we get this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we do.
Here's my last one. Why are you ready for marriage right now, and why is getting married soon so important to you?
Well, I can tell you this, Grant. I'm ready for marriage because I need a roommate to move in with.
Yeah.
I need someone to move into D.C. with. We can live this life and, you know, go get bagels on a Sunday morning, record a podcast together while she's in the back. You know, just normal hubby and wife things. Go take our dog on a walk, maybe.
Go to the kids' t-ball game.
Kids' t-ball game.
Yeah.
go to a Nats
Johnny's
game.
Johnny's going
to
be starting it short on Saturday.
Yeah. Little Keegan's playing infield.
So, yeah, you know.
He's ready.
I'm ready.
He's ready to go.
Let's go. Well, we're rooting for you. We'll keep filling out the paperwork in the days ahead.
Some of these questions are tough to answer. I'm
love
looking ahead.
Is blind. What else you got there?
What is something you'd be hesitant to share in the pods?
We'll get into that, too. Love is Ryan. Double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I also want to talk Nats with you for a couple minutes after their season ended. G&D on the Fan. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Right here on G&D.
House of the Dragon is rolling. This is just generally my quick frustration that I need to get out there. I need some of these epic and amazing shows to be spread out throughout the year. I understand not everything can come out according to my convenience, and I know they're trying to compete with eyeballs, with all the other streaming services, and once one person puts a tent pole in the ground, everybody else has to now do the same kind of a deal. So at one given time, you've got a billion-dollar show, The Rings of Power, which is fantastic, on Amazon Prime. You've got House of the Dragon on HBO, rocking and rolling. And I'm blanking on what my Netflix show is. Oh, the Disney Plus has two different shows, including Andor, which has been really, really good, and She-Hulk, which is fine, I think. But it's like, do one in May. Do one in July. Just spread them out a little bit. But I digress. House of the Dragon is really, really well done, in my humble opinion. I got my guy Grant Paulson, who's also up to date on episode 7. Is the time jump bothering you?
It did.
It does?
So, yes, I didn't like the time jump. I knew I wouldn't. Here's where it bothered me more. I thought the time jump would hurt more with the two main character girls who are actually different. Because instead of, like, I don't know, making them look older or using technology or makeup or something, they have different actresses who are several years older playing the girls now. Where it's actually hurt me more is with all the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Who you didn't see at all previously. They were babies or weren't born yet. And now we fast forwarded 10 or 12 or 14 years or whatever it was. And so the kids are all cousins, nephews, nieces, they're all somewhere between like toddlers and, you know, 11 years old or something.
And now we blink and there's like a 12-year-old kid with dark hair and you're
exactly.
Like, wait, what the hell happened?
Sort through all that. So yes, the time hop was not ideal for me. As someone who's not as into these shows, and like if you're a Game of Thrones mark, you know the family names and all that like the back of your hand. It's a little more work for me. I'm Googling family trees and stuff while I'm watching because I legitimately don't know. Like everyone watches this and they go, oh, this family becomes this, who ends up being the girl with the dragons in Game of Thrones. I don't know any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm literally like pulling up family trees and saying who's married to who and Googling stuff as I'm watching.
And texting your boy. I'm over here to help you.
That's right.
Right? I am very helpful. I will say this. They've done this thing where in the regular Game of Thrones show, it was always so massive and they would tie everything together with a huge mega blowout. Usually episode 9 was when they did, if it was a 10 episode season, right? It was either the mega battle, the mega event, the reveal, the rug pull, the twist, the horrible thing, the great thing, whatever it was, that's when it would take place. And if you've watched the first few seasons, you kind of know exactly what I'm talking about. Your mind immediately goes to episode 9 once everything comes to a head. Then you've got one episode of fallout, and then we kind of go back to it. I don't know if they're going to do something similar with House of the Dragon, because they keep jumping so much in time, and these major events happen to cause the time jump, basically saying to you, we don't need to spend any more time here. We got to move forward 4, 5, 6, 7 years, or even more at times. It's very interesting, and I'm wondering if the same formula is going to be there in terms of the major reveals. My last point, though, about about House of Dragon, before I tag you in, the thing that was so amazing about Game of Thrones before it got bad at the end was they would take this massive scale, because this is the whole world we're talking about. Every kingdom, every house, every army, every commoner, they're all sort of swept up into this, and yet they'd make it feel really intimate. So at the end of the day, it was two people who didn't like each other in a room, drinking wine, talking ass to one another, you know, and like backhanded stuff and you know, double crossing. And it was like a soap opera, but set in this sort of medieval setting with a little bit of magic and some dragons and crap. This is even more intimate than that. This is just basically one big family and everybody's mad. Really, really well done. Tip of the cap.
Yeah, I think it's a great show. I don't know what I don't know, because I'm not a Game of Thrones guy previously, although I'm trying to get into that as much as I can.
You've watched a lot.
But I do really, really like this show. I think it's brilliant. Real quick, time for my double play. I'll make it fast. Short and sweet, because most of you aren't going to care about this, but I found it a lot of fun. So I've said so many times that I would freeze my kids right now, today, thinking like that was the best age, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I fast forward 6 months, and then that's the best age. And now you fast forward to today, and this is the best age. My daughter is at an age now where she says something hysterically funny almost every single day. And while today's wasn't quite as good as some of her gems that just make me LOL or spit out water or whatever, so she comes into my room this morning. It's like 7:45.
Yep.
I normally leave to take her to school at a little after 8 a.m. She comes to my room. She goes, Dad, are you waking up to take me to school today? And I'm already awake. I'm just kind of scrolling through my phone or whatever. And I said, yes, of course. She said, well, you didn't take me to school Tuesday. And I said, that's true. Tuesday, I was up late with Monday Night Football and some things. I slept in. She said, it's supposed to be special daddy and me time. And I said, I understand. I'm going to take you to school. No problem. And she said, good boy, daddy. Thought that was really funny.
That's hilarious.
So then I'm like, okay, she's now like hovering. She's looking at me, waiting.
Yeah.
So then I stand up and I get out of bed and I kind of look over at her. And she's like, I'll leave you to some privacy now. And she just goes and stands right outside the door.
Amazing. But still watching.
Right, exactly.
Right, but outside the door, yeah.
She can't trust me that I might lay back down like I'm some like child and she's the mom.
That's great.
She goes, I'll leave you to some privacy now.
When little kids see grown-ups and hear grown-ups do things, and then they regurgitate them at, like, different
Essentially,
times.
Essentially, that's just what my wife kind of does to me every single day. Like,
totally.
Hey, are you doing the thing? And I'm like, yep. She's like, now's when you're going to do it. She doesn't say good boy when I get up, but she might as well.
I was going to say, did she ever say good boy?
The correct amount of condescension. But then I stand up, you know, and then she's like, I'll give you some privacy. She just goes outside, and she's, like, facing away from me outside my door of my bedroom.
Standing guard.
Hilarious.
That's so good.
G&D on the fan. All right, we're going to give you those Caps tickets. Top of the Beltway Blitz next segment as soon as we return. And then we'll kick things off on the Blitz with the Nats after their final day of the season right here on the fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.